This is what we call Easter service, and we should be excited because without Jesus, we wouldn't be here this morning. We just wouldn't. We would be doing other things, and the greatest part of your life would be here on the earth, and that's not so great either sometimes, is it? I got a couple of things I want to do here this morning here before we get into this morning message. And first, I want to thank Phil. Phil, thank you for narrating this morning. It's good. Bringing that stuff we need to hear from the Word. And thank you, Ashley, for bringing those songs this morning. And thank you, Carla, wherever you are, for bringing that excitement in song. We should be excited about Easter, shouldn't we? We should be excited. If we, you know, we should not be one saying that I've lost and I lose the joy of my salvation. But the Bible says if there's no preachers, nobody hears the God. You know, so we need preachers, right? Amen. We need preachers. We really do. So we have one that's working on some things. And so just got something here for Phil Marlowe. So Phil, if you come up, this is his leadership training in our association. Yep. Phil went through, what, 6-8 weeks of that? Right? Yep. So congratulations. You completed that. Awesome. I know what it's like. I get to teach that once. I get to teach one of those 6-8 sessions there, and my session was about how to work through the low points of pastoring. Also, back in December, I believe it was in December when we had our annual meeting, and what we did was we needed to change a couple of things up for me and Dan. And so what we do is we have my I can't remember the church where you get your ordination from. Living Waters, all right. I got my ordination from Gospel Community. Not that I love it, but Gospel doesn't exist anymore, so we made a vote to go ahead and turn those over and move those to New Life Fellowship. So I think it would be appropriate for that. So Dan, if you come up here, we have these for you. One of them is a certificate of license, and the other is the fellowship, or the ordination for New Life. All right, brother. Thank you. Thank you, Ashley. The Bible is an amazing book. It is a gift that God has given to us that is so amazing. It is a privilege to have. Many men, such as William Tyndale, however you want to say his last name, have died trying to translate just a few books of the Bible. We have a full Bible in front of us today. If you have one, I hope you brought it, and I hope when you look at it, you know that there's been so many lives that have died trying to translate it. There's history of God's family through it. It all goes back to His creation, and you see the thumbprint of God in every book. You see His love in every book. You see His redemption story coming in every book, and you see His grace in every book, and you see Him because it is His book. It is His book, and we're going to break it open this morning, and we're going to read some things that, as I went through some commentaries, I was amazed at what some men didn't believe about the Scriptures because it was beyond their belief. But I also know that there's something else that's from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelations, and it is scattered with men's faith. It is scattered with women's faith. And when they didn't have quite enough faith, God shored him up with His faith and His power. We call it on that Friday when Jesus was crucified, and as He was arrested and put on that cross, we see that there was a time when He was nailed to the cross and He was lifted up, just as that serpent was lifted up during Moses' time. We see at 9 o'clock He is lifted up, but by noontime it has gotten dark. There's a darkness that covers the land, and some believe that there was an eclipse, but I like to tell you that through even scientifically, it could not have been an eclipse, because an eclipse does not last for 3 hours. Also, it has been said that this darkness, through other historians, not of the Bible, but other historians during this time and after, had said that there was a darkness that went all the way across even to the Mediterranean areas. And it even is known that during this Passover time, that they go back, because the science today knows when these eclipses happen, and they say there was nothing, there was not one that happened on the Passover. This was an act of God. This was an act of God when His Son was up on the cross and there was a darkness that covered the land. I believe it covered the world, because I believe the land just didn't sin, but the whole world sinned. That's just my opinion. But I believe the whole world was under darkness. I want to read scriptures from you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to be here for a moment here, and I want to share some things that happened on this cross. So darkness covered the land from noon till 3. And in Matthew chapter 27, in verse 45, we're going to pick it up. We're going to pick up just a little bit right there at the noontime. And it said, from noon, there in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. Around 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "That is my God, why have you forsaken me?" Do you remember when Jesus was in the garden and he said, "Lord, if this cup could pass from me, but not thy will, but your will be done." But he said here, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It isn't that Jesus lost faith. And he said, when some of those standing there heard this, they said, "It is Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge filled with sour wine and fixed it on a reed and offered him a drink. But the rest said, let's see if Elijah comes to save him. But Jesus shouted again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary was split in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who were fallen asleep were raised. And they came out to the tombs after his resurrection and entered the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, and they were terrified and said, "This man really was the Son of God." We read through that and then we just kind of miss the important parts. What we see here is, first of all, that darkness was over the face of the earth. Darkness was over the face of the earth. From noon till 3. And at 3 o'clock, something amazing happens. Jesus gives up his spirit. Did you know no man took his spirit? Jesus gave it up. Jesus could have called down 10,000 angels if he wanted to. But he gave up his spirit. And when that happened, what we see here is some amazing things. We see that the earth began to quake. The earth began to quake. And they will tell you that eclipses and earthquakes do not match together. Another thing from the Creation magazine, which is really good. We had them here, and they were amazing when they were here. And they're very biblical. They back their things up. But there's no way that the earthquake happened because of an eclipse. But the earth had quaked, and the rocks had split. The Bible says in Luke 19, if we will not praise Him, and if we keep silent, that the rocks will cry out. Do you know that it seemed like the rocks were crying out? Amen? The rocks were crying out. This was Jesus, the Son of God. This was Jesus. Nature was changed. Nature had a movement that had happened with the eclipse, the universe, with the eclipse, with the world, the darkness and the earthquake in the region. We see that all that had happened. And a Roman soldier, of all of those who would seem the one that not to say something, says something amazing. The sinner says, "This is the Son of God. This has to be the Son of God." Through a sinner's mouth, Jesus is proclaimed to be the Son of God. That amazes me. And after that, we see Jesus died and was put in a tomb. And after that, we see, if you can go into Peter, you'll read there that Peter is, that Jesus descended into the gates. And some people may not believe this. Some people do. This is one you got to work through. Did Jesus go to hell and preach to those sons of God in chapter 6? Did he preach to those? I believe he did. But you can work on that on your own. Jesus didn't go to heaven until we read later. After around 40 days of walking on this earth, testifying, doing things again, and showing himself. And on that third day, he arose. And we know the story that the stone was rolled away and the clothes were there, but Jesus had rose. The ladies came and the angel said that he's not there, but there was something else that happened that we miss. It says this right here. We miss this because we focus on the tomb, the empty tomb, and we need to focus on the empty tomb. And it says, the tombs were also open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and they came out of their tombs after Jesus' resurrection. Jesus had all power and authority given to him by the Lord, by our Lord, by our Father, by his Father. And we see that there were other people that were raised after his resurrection. We can't go before Jesus. Jesus is always going to go before us. And so we see this peace that we also, one day when we die, we'll get there in just a moment, that when we die, we will also be raised as Jesus was raised. But there were people, there were the old saints, the saints that believed by faith who God was, and they followed God. They could not keep the law. There was a faith that they had. The Bible tells there was a faith that they had. And so that those that had that faith, those old saints of old, they were raised up. But it all points back to the cross. For the old saints could not have been risen without the cross. The cross is what we need to look at today. But I'm afraid that some of us have looked at the cross and we don't look at it like we used to. You see, some of us today, we look at the cross and some of us see nothing. Some of us see nothing in the world. Some of us see nothing when we see and we look at the cross. Others see it as a cool sign, a cool piece of art, a nice piece of art. Others see it as a nice emblem, a nice trinket on a chain or a bracelet or on a ring. Others see it as a piece on their arm, as a tattoo. For some, it is offensive. The cross is offensive. It's offensive to them. And others, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to them. It's foolish to them. The cross is foolish. Some say it's a joke, it's ridiculous. The cross is a joke, it's ridiculous. And some people, the cross angers, it makes them furious, and even people will kill and persecute because the cross makes them angry, and they see the cross and there's a hatred. They hate the cross. But for me, it is everything. The cross to you should be everything. The cross to you should remind you of your salvation. The cross to you should remind you of what Jesus did for you and I. The cross means everything. He is my Savior. He is my friend, my forgiveness. He's my power inside of me. My sins were on the cross. The cross is everything to me. That's right. Amen. But for others, it is not so. But what does the cross really mean today? Not counting what I feel and what others feel, but what does the cross, because the cross can stand alone without me. The cross can stand alone without you. The cross can stand alone without the whole world, because the cross is Jesus Christ. And the cross will stand. And what is the cross and what does it mean? The cross is there and it is strong today. Today, just as much as it was then, it is strong today. Its power is still strong today. It's still saving people today as it did back then. Amen. The cross still stands strong. It stands tall. It stands against all the things of the world. And it will stand till the end. Because it is the cross. It is the cross. You see, when I see the cross, I see the cross without Jesus on the cross. When I see Jesus on the cross, it reminds me that that is a picture of the story not finished. The story of it finished is Jesus is off the cross, and he is out of the tomb, and he is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I. For the completion of the cross, it's not Jesus on the cross, it's Jesus off of the cross. But the cross also means today that there is hope. There is still hope for everyone. There is still hope for everyone. For when Jesus died, it was for everyone. And here it is. You cannot get to Jesus. You cannot get to the Father. You cannot get to heaven until you go to the cross. You have to go to the cross. Jesus says you must bear your own cross. Not the cross, but your own cross. Because there was only one, the cross. The cross stands there, so we must know that we must bear our own cross. But you cannot get to heaven unless you go to the cross. You cannot get your sins forgiven unless you go to the cross. Acts 4:12 says this, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. There is only one name, and his name is Jesus Christ. Romans 3:10 says this, there is no one righteous, no, not one, not me, not you, but there is only one. His name was Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He came from heaven to come down here to be a sacrifice for you and I. The cross and its resurrection power. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 6 for a moment. But the cross is important. I want to remind you, we don't worship the cross, we worship Jesus Christ. But the cross is what we're looking at. That's what Jesus did on the cross. In Romans chapter 6, we're going to pick up in verse 4. It says, therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. For if we have been joined with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved by sin. Since a person who has died is freed from sin's claim, nor if we died with Christ, or now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, we will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. What we see here is we see a piece here that we know that if we need to go through Christ, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. But I want to tell you something. You can't get to Jesus without going to the cross. When you go to the cross, can I tell you what happens when you go to the cross? You die at the cross. That old self dies at the cross. You go to the cross and you die at the cross. And then that sin piece is broken. That doesn't mean you're not going to sin. But that sin, you are set free at the cross. You are set free at the cross. And we are considered this. I know we don't like it, but now we become slaves to Jesus. Now that we don't like that, slaves, because we in America love to have that freedom. We love to rule our own life. But let me tell you, you're not very good at ruling your own life. I'm not very good at doing it either. And that's why Jesus came, because we're all filled with sin. I must find myself. I remember when I did it. I remember when I was 12. I went to the cross. I didn't know everything about it, but I died at the cross. I died at the cross. And then it says, when I got up from there, and I became a new creation in Jesus. Before I came to the cross, it was me. It was just me. I was a creation of my parents. And the blessedness of birth, of babies, and humankind from the Lord. But I was not a new creation in Christ until I died at the cross. And when I was, so that's where I died at the cross, and I received salvation. And when I was put down and dunked in the water and just didn't get a bath, I was buried in the likeness of his death. Like when Jesus was in the tomb, buried in the likeness of his death. And though death could not hold Jesus, it can't hold me neither, because I guess what? I'm a new creation. I'm not going to die. So when I'm raised, so as I'm raised up out of the water, it's a reminder to me. It's like I'm buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen? Amen? It's good to be a Christian. It's exciting to be a believer in Jesus Christ. We should be happy in this world. It's better than what we think it is. Life is a gift. Many of us have quivers or arrows in our whatever they call that thing. I'm not a hunter. Whatever that thing is, we got a lot of quivers, we got a lot of arrows, and a lot of family members and loved ones, and some of them been broken, and some of them been lost, some of them have passed away. But I'm reminded that if they knew Jesus, it's just a moment of separation, because they died at the cross too at one time. And the promise is they were buried in the likeness of the dead. They were raised in the likeness of his resurrection, and home, it will be in home with Jesus. Jesus, because we went to the cross. The cross is everything. Everything is at the cross. And my question for you is, did you do it right at the cross? Not just coming down because somebody asked you to. Not coming down just because the family done. Did it? Not be coming down because it felt emotionally, but you knew downright that you are a sinner. You knew downright that you needed to be set free, that you needed to die to the old self and live the new creation that only Jesus can create into you. And even though we still can't do it right, God says, I mean, pluck that Holy Spirit inside of you so you'll know what to do, because you need just a little bit more, not to get to heaven, but to live a righteous life on this world, that you need the Spirit of God inside of you. It all comes and filtrates from the first door at the cross. At the cross. At the cross. I remember my day of salvation that Jesus gave me, and it was 12 years old down at an altar. Some of them's not at an altar. I've led other people to the Lord. Led people to the Lord. It wasn't at the altar. Sometimes it was in a car. Sometimes it was in one of them old work trucks. Sometimes it was in a field. But for me, it was at the altar. And it was at that place. I didn't understand it, but I knew this. I died at the cross. And when I got up, I was a new person. And maybe you've done that, but maybe it really wasn't. Salvation. As I said, maybe it was for other reasons. I have a friend of mine who pastors the Well Church. He's a good man. For all the years that him and his wife, he's pastored like seven, eight years, and all the years he was in other church, things like that. His wife, who's a pastor's wife, just got saved last year. Running along with the church. Running along with all the programs. Running along with the membership on the roll. Running along teaching kids about Jesus. Yeah, she learned the Bible, but she didn't die at the cross. Our first state representative came to us and he said, I was pastoring for 7 years. Mr. John Garrison. He came to us down on State Street, preached, and his testimony was this, some of you remember it. He said this. He said, I was preaching for 7 years. I had a revival, and I got saved in my own revival. I had a guest preacher that told me that I needed to die at the cross. And he said, I was not saved. I did the words, but I did not die at the cross. Don't fool yourself thinking you're saved if you know in your spirit you're not. The biggest lie ever. We're going to take a moment here, and I'm going to ask you a question, because this is what it's all about. This is what Easter is all about. It started on a Friday, but it didn't end on a Friday. Amen? It started on a Friday, and it didn't end on a Saturday. It started on a Friday, and it ended up with Jesus raised up from the dead. Going around showing himself to the world. The dead in Christ. Some old saints rising up. Boy, I was scaring everybody. Walking, oh man, what's going on? It's Jesus. He set me free. Jesus. Let me tell you something. I can say Jesus to you today, knowing I have Jesus, that I died on the cross. I went to the cross and died. And I have Jesus in my heart. I'm asking you today if you really have Jesus in your heart. If you do, you know where to glorify Him, where to praise Him, where to shout out hallelujah. If we don't, the rocks cry out. So we're going to have a moment of an altar call, and I believe it should be this. There should be those who are praising the Lord. You can do it where you are. You can come down. You can praise Him for what Easter means to you, what the cross means to you, that you died at the cross, because I'm telling you, if anything is worth celebrating, it is that you are a new creation in Jesus. And if you have not, then you're challenged, and you're just challenged today. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, saying, you are not saved, brother. You are not saved, sister. You need to die at the cross today. You look right, you act right, but you ain't done it right. And so we're going to have a moment for you, and don't be embarrassed about it. When nobody's going to laugh at you. But I'm telling you, grace is in the house today. But there's some reason I'm preaching this message today. So we're going to have a moment. I'm going to have you stand up for a moment.